Today we're continuing our series on the blessings. Amen. You know, it was super hard to find a video for the blessing. There's all kinds of video, but when you talk about blessing, there's not much out there. So today we're doing part two on the blessings of God. I want us to open our Bibles to Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Now, if you never read the book of Chronicles, it's okay. Because, let me tell you why, there's a lot of names there. This guy gave birth to this guy. And this guy gave birth to this guy. And then this fourth guy gave birth to this guy. And all these guys are giving birth to these other guys, okay? Well, that's just how Bible records it, right? Bible, you know, it's old school up there. But there's a guy that you might know of. Out of nowhere, in the fourth chapter of 1 Chronicles, we start seeing a scripture that almost doesn't make sense, that like, who dropped that in there? And then it goes back to a guy giving birth to another guy. And then that guy had a son and he gave birth to this guy. And then it just continued. So if you don't read anything but Chronicles 4, 9, you will discover something great. A chicken nugget in there. Chicken nugget in there. All right, let's read it. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. So this guy was full of honor. He was blessed. Now, then there's explanation. See, Bible doesn't give us the whole story. It just gives us an outline. It gives us what he was. Now, he wasn't born like that. He wasn't born honorable. He was born naked, just like the rest of us. So it just tells us who he was throughout his life, right? So he was more honorable than his brothers. He was over here. His brothers were over here. And he was over here. Now, his mother called his name Jabez because I bore him in pain. It was painful. This guy was probably a 10-pounder baby. So this guy was probably a huge head guy just like me and my brother. And Jabez called on God of Israel saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. Two verses in front of guy gave birth to a guy, and after guy gives birth to a guy. He was asking God for something that I think today is being a little bit forgotten. It's the blessing of God. Now, we talk a lot about mercy of God. We talk a lot about the grace of God. But not a lot of us know exactly when we say blessing of God. We use that word so carelessly. We say, "God bless you." Oh, bless your heart. Anything else? You know, when you get a job, somebody says, "God bless you." When you are, it's your birthday, everybody writes on your Facebook wall, "God bless you." But we really don't know what it actually means. God's blessing is the best thing that could happen to your life. We talked about that there's two blessings. There's a material blessing and there is a spiritual blessing. In the Old Testament, we see God blessing people with material blessing, right? In the New Testament, we see something different. And it's, Paul says, "Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing that are in heavenly places." So in the New Testament, we get an addition to material blessing, we get spiritual blessing. Material blessings are temporary. Spiritual blessings are eternal. Last week I gave you an example. I built a house and I called it such a big blessing, but then it flooded in a basement. And then I started, and it would flood every time it would rain, to the point where I started cursing that house. I'm like, "This house is cursed. What is going on?" In 3 in the morning, I would get up in sweat thinking my basement is flooded. You know what I mean? And so my question is, how is it that God gives you a blessing that turns into a curse? No. But all material blessings are temporary. In the New Testament, through Jesus Christ, we get another blessing. A spiritual abundance. Amen? Now, what is a blessing? Anybody? Okay, I'm going to answer it. Fine. What is a blessing? Blessing is ability to enjoy life to the fullest. Blessing is an ability to be happy. In Ecclesiastes, we read last week, and can we open that scripture, Ecclesiastes 6:2? It says this, watch what blessing is not. Read this carefully. A man to whom God gives riches and wealth and honor, so that he lacks nothing for himself of all that he desires. This guy has everything. And look at this. Yet God does not give him power to eat of it, but a foreigner consumes it. This is vanity, and it is an evil affliction. So, if you only get material blessings in your life without having a spiritual blessing, what does it say? It's vanity. It's emptiness. And people have money, riches, and everything, and yet they cannot enjoy life. And so that's why Jesus says this. Stop going for the secondary thing. Go for the first. And when you get the first, everything else will be included in it. We can waste our life going after material things. And I'm not saying material things are not important. And I'm not saying that God devalues material things. No, He just values spiritual things above material things. And He says, if you seek my kingdom, material things will be in it. You'll get the whole package, not just a part of it. If you imagine a pie with me, how many of you ever had a pie? Did you eat the whole pie or did you cut it in pieces? You cut it in pieces, right? What? You ate the whole pie? I couldn't do it. Well, I wouldn't admit that I did it, but I used to love cherry pie till I hate it now because I ate the whole pie. But God wants us to have the wholeness. He wants us to have the whole blessing. You know what He says? If you have just the financial blessing, but you don't have the spiritual blessing, you're not complete. You're poor, actually, the Bible says. I'll show it to you. This is not on my list. Open to Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. You know where I'm going with this. It's talking about lukewarm church. Listen to what it says. And to the angel, to the pastor of the church of Laodicea write, These things says Amen, the faithful and truth witness, beginning of creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold or hot. I could wish you were cold or hot, so that because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Listen to this, 17. Because you say I am rich, have become very wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know, and Jesus says to them, you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. These people in the church of Laodicea were going through economic boom. Everybody was rich. The church was obviously rich because everybody was rich. But guess what? Jesus calls them poor, wretched, naked, blind. Really? See, when you have half of the pie, you don't have the whole pie. Some people say, well, all you need is spiritual blessing, brother. And then their families suffer because they are lazy. They won't work. And so their wife goes and gets two jobs. And then she finds a boyfriend and kicks out the lazy bum. Now, don't do that, but it happens in the world. Amen. So God doesn't just want to bless you spiritually. He doesn't just want to bless you materially. He wants to give you the wholeness. He wants you to be whole. full. Bible says in 3 John, he says, I pray that you would prosper above all as your soul prospers. He wants your spirit, soul, and body to go to prosper. Now, if you're just thinking money, you're losing me. You're not getting me. I'm talking wholeness. Amen? And so Jabez was realizing that he needed a blessing, and he started asking God for it. Now, doesn't everybody ask God for blessing? This is talking about Israel in Chronicles. How is Jabez better than all of them? Why is he better? Don't you think nobody in Israel was asking for a blessing? What was so different? He knew what he was asking for. Many times Jesus would rebuke his disciples and say, you're asking me for something, you don't know what you're asking me for. I want that boyfriend. She's like, you know who? You don't know your future. I want a girlfriend. I don't care. And Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking because I know his future. I know her future. And it's not with you, and it's not for you, and it's not good. I want to bless you. Instead of saying, God bless me, so I would be happy. If it has having a husband, great. If it's not, well, Jacob the same way. He realized that his brother was going to have a blessing. And he said, I want it, and I'm ready to pay any price. Even throughout his whole life, he was so obsessed about protecting this blessing and increasing this blessing. That's what my message is about. How do you increase in the blessing of God? You know that it wasn't just one time that Jacob stole his blessing and left. When he was coming back to Israel, already rich. See, Jacob was willing to leave material thing for the spiritual. Esau was willing to leave spiritual for material. And Bible says, God only says this about one man in the Bible. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Do you know that God said that he hated one man, Esau? Ooh, does that really matter to you, God? Why are you tripping about this so much? Blessing, really? He believes in you, you know? But see, for God, it's very important. He wants to give you his blessing. But you have to want it. You have to ask it. You have to seek it. Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. I know it sounds crazy right now to listen to this, but it's taken by force. Blessing of God is not going to come into your life. You have to go for it. You have to ask God. You have to beg him for it. You have to do something about it. Because you can seek everything else. And when you get all the riches, all the wealth, everything your heart desires, you'll realize that you're empty. And I love you guys. You know that. And I'm not preaching to you what I heard somebody else preach. I lived through this. I grew up in the ghetto, in a third world country. It's not like ghetto here. This is rich compared to ghetto. I grew up in a tall building in a project. Some of you know where I grew up. And people were fighting there, drinking. Husbands were beating up their wives. When we came here, God has blessed me. And when he blessed me, I had everything financially I wanted. I could drive any car that I wanted reasonably, you know. But I was not happy. And the devil, see, he's a liar. He says, I got something better for you to offer. But God, listen to me. Whatever he offers you, just know what his name is, what his character is. When God is a creator, Satan is a destroyer. Everything he does, he will always destroy. He will offer you something, but then with it, he will destroy you. In Greek mythology, there is this island where this lady would sing, right? Beautifully? How many? What is it? Yeah. Siren. And the Greeks, when they would pass by that island, they would say they had to close their ears, right? Am I correct in that? So they wouldn't hear it because first they would fall so into it and eventually the thing would destroy them. That's how Satan works. First, he offers you pleasure, and then he destroys you with pleasure. God wants to offer you not riches, not so much glory. He wants to offer you His blessing. This guy, he's not here today, but he's dear to my heart. He grew up in this church. He would come to me and he would just try. He would try many different things, many different drugs to be happy. And he would come to me and says, "Pastor Alex, I don't care if I'm rich. I just want to be happy." He would just like, "How do I get happiness? I don't want..." And then I would say, "Jesus." And he was like, "I tried Jesus." He was looking for a blessing. He didn't... See, once you're satisfied, once you're blessed, who cares what you got? Just as long as you have enough to, you know, clothes and look, you, all of you look nice. You're dressed nice. God wants to offer you His blessing. Amen? And once you get the blessing, it's the wholeness. It brings everything into your life. The blessing of God makes 5 bread and 2 fish feed 20,000 people twice. And leftovers. The blessing of God makes the nets that Peter, the fisherman, was dragging all night and didn't catch anything, filled with fish where the nets are ripping apart twice. The blessing of God makes a boring party, a boring wedding that ran out of wine, turns a water washing basin for feet into wine and choice wine. The best wine. That's what a blessing does. $1 of blessing will cover more than $1,000 or $10,000 without the blessing. See, we need to seek it. There's a reason Jacob was obsessed about a blessing. Now, was he correct at how he got it? No. But Bible don't necessarily looking for perfection. Bible don't necessarily preaches right, being right. You know, two brothers are fighting between one another and one says, "I know I'm right." God is not looking for that, for so much rightness. I don't know if some of you will get this, but there is a scripture in the Bible that says, don't be too righteous. I think it's talking about don't be legalist. And don't be too wicked. It's like, how do you get that? How do you what are you going to be, just a little bit wicked? Just a little bit righteous? It's in the Bible. See, because God doesn't necessarily bless people who are right and perfect. See, it's Him blessing whomever He wants, and He wants to bless you. Do you remember in the book of Joshua, He says, "I open before you life and death, blessing and cursing. What are you going to choose?" He asks you. He says, if I was you, I would choose life, blessing. What do you come to God for? What do you pray for? When you say, "God bless me," do you know what you're asking Him? Or your mind automatically thinks, $100. If I only get $100, what's $100? What's $1,000? You want the blessing, and blessing is all that you need. Just enough and a little more. David says, "My cup overfloweth." Overflows. That's the blessing of God. With the blessing of God, a widow takes oil, a little bit of oil, and pours it into the vessels, empty vessels, and they all become full. That's the blessing of God. That's what we need more of in our life. Blessing makes it easier. Life is hard. Do you know that? Life is super hard. But guess what? Blessing makes it easier. Have you ever been blessed in something? It's not that it's easy, but it's easier. Sometimes a person without a blessing works, and no results, no fruit. And another person, not so gifted, not so talented, not so intelligent and educated, but the blessing of God is evident in his hands. And you're like, "Whoa, how do you do that? Why are you more blessed than me?" And people will be jealous. because they are smarter. They are better. They are stronger. And suddenly, nobody gets blessed. See, Jabez was not more honorable to start with. He asked God and he knew what he was asking. Everybody else was asking for a blessing. But he understood what a blessing of God is. Jacob fought for the blessing with an angel of the Lord. Remember that story? Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord the whole night. And obviously, angel wasn't using his superpower. He matched his strength with Jacob's strength. Angel, you know, to fight him. But at the end, the day was coming. And angel says, you got to let me go. And the guy says, no, till you bless me. And so he took a little bit of supernatural. And what does it say? He zaps his hip and takes it out of socket. And since then, Jacob, blessed with a limp, starts limping. But then he blessed him. Amen? And that blessing surrounded him. And notice, it wasn't just one time he asked God for a blessing. When he was young, about 30 years old, he asked his father to bless him. Then when he was what? How long did Jacob stay in Laban's house? He worked 7 years for Rachel, got tricked and got Leah, worked 7 more years, and then 7 more. 21 years. So by now he's what? 30 plus 21, 51 years old. At 51, he says, God bless me again. Do you value the blessing of God as much as this guy did? See, if you don't and you just say, God bless you, it doesn't mean anything. But if you know what you're talking about, you know how some of us plead the blood of Jesus without knowing what the blood really is? It has no power. You know that when Paul was casting out demons, they would come out. But you remember the 7 sons of a priest who decided, we're going to cast out demons too. Remember that story? They come to this demon-possessed man and he's wild. And they said, we cast you out in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. And they said, Paul we know, Jesus we know, but who are you? There was perverse demon in that man. Why did he make him naked? He wanted to defile them, guys. Don't mess with. See, one person knows what the blessing is, and the blessing know that person. Another person knows the word and the blessing don't know that person. Do you know what it is? You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. You can read this Bible 100 times and not know what it is and not know it. Or you can know it and read it once and it will set you free and change your life. I want you to know. Paul says, so I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. I want to know the fullness. I don't want to just know the power. I want to know the suffering too. I want to know it all. Your marriage needs a blessing. Your job needs a blessing. Your relationships need blessing. God wants to bless you. But you have to ask him for it. You have to, don't just say, God, please bless me. Thank you. Amen. God, bless this food. Amen. No, God, I really need you to bless me. Jabez was serious. I don't know if he cried. I don't know if he fasted. But he was asking God for a blessing. And it changed his life. And Bible calls him more honorable. I don't think it called him more honorable in the beginning of his time with the Lord. I think at the end of his life. Because it's not how honorable you are in the beginning. It's how honorable you are at the end. It's not the beginning. It's the end that counts in life. It's not the beginning of the marriage. You know, some people spend, Kardashians, spend how much money? $10 million on a wedding. How long did it last? 70 days? Really? 70 million? I mean, 70 days for 10 million? That's a lot of money. It's not the beginning that saves. It's not the beginning that determines. It's the end. God wants you to have great end. and he wants you to have great beginning. Satan only wants you to have great beginning. And at the end, it's all down the hill. Now, 5 points quickly. How to grow in the blessing of God. Number one, how do you grow in the blessing of God? You must value the blessing of God above yourself. The problem with Esau is that he valued his muscles. He was a hunter. He was a man's man. He was a tough guy. He was a macho man. And he relied upon his own flesh. Blessing of God goes beyond your abilities. It multiplies what you are. People have called me blessed, and the thing is, I don't have education, any education. If you knew how much education I got, you'd laugh at me. But you wouldn't know it looking at the blessing. It's just, you got to understand it's the blessing that you want. Now, you need education. I really wish I was more educated. But sometimes life just takes you different ways. But to those of you who are not educated, there's great hope. Paul says to Jesus, Paul had a weakness in his body. Most people say it was his eyes that was bothering him. He was writing big letters because his eyes were just bothering him. After he was blinded by the light, those eyes kept bothering him. He was never completely recovered. And he prayed 3 times and the Lord says, no, I won't heal you. And then the Lord answers him in 2 Corinthians, says, my grace is sufficient to work in the way you are. Because my strength is performed not in your strength, but in your weakness. So Paul says, I will glory more in my weaknesses. I will boast more in my weaknesses so the power of God can be manifested through me. Hallelujah. It's not about your own strength. It's not about education. It's not about your intellect. It's not about your gifts and talents. It's about the blessing of God. And most of the time it likes to work when you are weak. Paul says, when I'm weak, that's when I am strong. See, without blessing, Esau was relying upon his own strength. That's pride. And God resists the proud. Jacob says, I'm a cook. You can't rely on that. Now, nothing wrong with being a cook. Digging myself another hole. It's okay to be a cook. Be the best chef you can be. I mean, I'd love to come and eat your food. You can come and cook for me at home, in my house. But Jacob says, I'm a mama's boy. My brother's hairy. Yeah. I am smooth. I'm just... The first point, you must value the blessing of God above yourself. You must not rely upon your strength, upon your power, upon your own greatness. Number two, point number one, let me just finish on that one. There's a difference between a blessing and success. With success, we read in Ecclesiastes, that man was successful, but he was miserable. Success is great with the blessing of God. That's fullness. Without it, you're just as miserable as somebody who's totally broken and can't pay his bills. And you got it all. Point number two. You must have a godly fear of losing your blessing. What do you do when you're making a decision? Do you care about the blessing of God or losing it or closing the door on it? Or are you just saying, I know the Bible is against this. I know the Word of God is against this, but it's not going to happen to me. Do you know what wickedness is? You know who's a wicked person? I wrote it on Facebook this week. It's the person who knows the consequences and still does it, hoping or believing or deceiving himself that it's not going to happen to him. And then when it happens to him, God, why did you do this? Oh, there must be no God, because I believe differently. It doesn't matter what you believe. It's what the Word says. And if your belief aligns with the Word, amen. If it doesn't, the Word doesn't change because of me, because of what I believe. Amen. Daniel was, you know who Daniel was? Daniel was an Israelite who was taken captive into Babylon. And he was one of the smart, good-looking guys, so they took him in to the king's palace. And in king's palace, they wanted to defile the Jews. They wanted to make him eat pork and all kinds of, you know, stuff that the Jews were not supposed to eat. And Bible says, let's open this scripture. Daniel was afraid to lose his blessing. He knew what was on him. And in Daniel 1:8, let's put that up. Says this, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not be defiled. Let's put verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. So God gave him favor. Now, later, King Nebuchadnezzar has dreams, and he won't tell him what it is. He calls all of his wise men and says, explain it to me. They bother me, but I won't tell you what it is. Maybe he forgot the dream. You know, sometimes you have a dream, and it was so important, you know it's so important, then you forget it. And he's like, somebody explain to me what the dream was, and what does it mean? And they called all the wise men of the day, all the magicians, soothsayers, all the witch doctors, whatever you call them, and they could not explain a dream. They said, no king has ever requested such thing. King says, kill them all. Yeah. If they can't do their job, you know, what am I paying them for? If you can't do something that simple. Somebody says, there is a man. A young man, a spirit of a holy God lives in him, and he can explain the dream and give you that interpretation. The thing that caught my eye and my ear was this: the spirit of a holy God lives in him. Now, why was Daniel only one among the wise men of Babylon who had that name? The spirit of a holy God lives in him. See, all the wise men of that day, they were all pagans. They served thousands of gods, right? They served Baal, Asherah. They served all kinds of gods. So how come he was the only one who got named that the spirit of a holy God lives in him? Because of the way he lives his lifestyle. Do you know that looking at you or me, we are able to tell what God lives in us. Somebody could say a spirit of angry God lives in him. A spirit of a lust God lives in him. See, all those people, they were wise, but their lifestyle said about them what kind of God they served. It's one thing that we say, we go to church and we're Christian. Can a person look at us and say, the spirit of a holy God lives in him or her? Or do they say the spirit of lying God lives in him? Or the spirit of wrath? Or greedy God lives in him? Or what is it called when you eat? Glutton God lives in him. Or a drug God lives in him. Or a booze God lives in him. What kind of God lives? What kind of God do you represent? Daniel, When they talked about him, they said the spirit of a holy God. Nobody else got called that. Why? Because of the lifestyle that he lives. People, don't just call yourself a Christian.
Don't just say, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, but your lifestyle is no different than somebody else. A spirit of a holy God lives in you. And that's what you got to manifest. That's what we got to represent. So what stops the blessing is when you are careless. I don't care. I'm going to do this, but I'm going to worry about consequences later. That's foolish. That's unwise. That's wicked. A wicked person knows the consequences and still does it, hoping, deceiving themselves, that nothing bad is going to happen to them. Whatever you sow, you will reap. How much time do I got? Are you guys done listening? No, say it. I'm not going to, my feelings are not going to get hurt. Yeah, go ahead. You're still listening? Okay. I have to finish. But I'm going to give you one point. Can I? Before I finish. No, I... Oh, help me, Jesus. We must be obedient. Listen to your heart. Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is a famous chapter. It says this, verse 1. Now, it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. So the third point is, obeying the voice of God in your life will bring a blessing into your life. If you diligently obey the voice of God, to observe carefully all His commandments, which I commanded you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. How do you get the blessing of God to increase upon your life? Now, I'm not talking to you theory. I'm not talking to you what I heard. This is what I'm living. He says, if you listen to my voice and you obey it, then all these blessings, and listen to this, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. You could be chasing riches and they'll be running from you. Lavar, can I use you for example? Come on, up here. No, come on, man. This is success. Start running. Don't let me catch you. Get over here! All right. Come on back here. That's what happens when you start chasing riches. They run from you, Bible says. You don't believe me? Let me show you Ecclesiastes 5. Stay here, Lavar. I want you guys to so know this stuff. Don't let anybody lie to you. Don't let anybody say, oh, just live how you want. As long as you believe God will bless you. No. You got to follow this. Ecclesiastes 5 says this, verse 10. He who loves silver will never be satisfied with silver. You love money? You'll never be satisfied. You'll be chasing them all your life. Okay? He who loves abundance will never have increase. But listen to this. In all these blessings, if you listen to the Lord of God, your God. All these, I know I need to get on treadmill. But all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. So watch this. The blessing now starts following me. Wherever I go. And I'm not going slow here. And the blessing overtake me. Overtake me. Not going to T-bow me? No. All right, thank you. Give him my hand. We're done. And all these blessings shall come on your life and overtake you. But they're not just going to overtake you. If you listen to this. If you diligently obey the voice of your God, it's obedience. What you read here, you got to start reading this. Stop coming for my sermons. Some people say, I love your sermons. I'm like, do you read the Bible? No. That's not good. I don't want you to love me. You're going to dislike me in about 3 months. Some of you came here a second time and you're already full. It's not about, it's I hope I can lead you to fall in love with this. Because through this, God will speak to you directly. Through this, your blessing will come into your life, into your family, into your business, into your job, into your school. Whatever you are, through this, the blessing will come into your life. God wants to have a relationship with you, not through your pastor. God never intended in the beginning to have preachers. And there is going to be a day when there will be no preachers. Because God says, I will pour out my spirit on them, and everyone will be taught by the spirit that's inside of them. You gotta start going there. Amen? The reason we need preachers is because we don't read the Bible. Because we need somebody to feed the babies. But eventually the babies have to grow up and feed. Amen. I don't know if this message made you mad. I don't know if this message encouraged you to ask for God's blessing, to cherish God's blessing. You know what I hope? I hope a young girl someday in the future will be faced with a choice. And she'll hear the voice of God saying one thing, and she'll hear another voice saying another thing, total opposite. I hope she thinks about the blessing and chooses God. I hope there's a young man who's ready to fall into temptation. Here's my words, and not my words. I actually don't hear my words. Hear the words of the Holy Spirit that comes out of here. He's ready to fall into temptation, and he remembers, I don't want to lose the blessing like Esau did, and was despised, the Bible says, by God, was hated by God. I don't want to be hated by God. I love you too much to just preach to you something that won't change your life. I really want people who's been going here for 6 months to say, after 6 months, my life is so different. After a year, I want you to come and testify that after a year coming, my life is not the same. That's what I results. It's not about. Now, don't get mad at a preacher. If somebody comes to you and says you're eating unhealthy, you should eat healthier. What? Okay. Distraction. Would you be mad at them? They say, if you eat this stuff, it's going to ruin your, I don't know. Never, I don't know. Would you be mad at them? Even if you could not quit Twinkies, you know, right away. You would have mad at them, but you would accept it as a truth. I know you won't change right away, but at least you know the truth. And eventually the truth starts changing you. Same thing with the Word of God. You might not be able to change right away, but what you have to do is you have to come in line with them. You have to come to agreement with them. You have to say, I'm not going to be mad at the preacher or the Word of God. I'm going to admit that this Word is for me. Now, I know I can't do it. I've tried doing it. I've tried changing. I can't. I'm going to just keep admitting that this Word is right. What I'm doing is maybe not so right. And I'm going to ask God with this power of the Holy Spirit to change my life. See what I'm asking you to do? I'm not asking you to change because I said so. I want you to submit yourself to this Word of God and then let it change you. Please stand to your feet. I want everybody to bow their heads and close your eyes. Everybody. There's a reason why you're here today. You tried religion, you tried whatever else in your life. But God brought you here to hear this Word because He does want to bless you. And He doesn't want to just bless you for a week. He wants to give you a great end, Bible says. The good work that He begins, He always completes. God never not finishes anything. What He starts, He always completes. It does take a lifetime, but it's always fully completed.